Today we're looking at the two visions of work in session 12 here, and we start out with the power of perspective. And so let me ask you some questions. What is your perspective? What type of lenses are you looking through? Do you generally see problems or do you see possibilities? You do know that your viewpoint shapes your thoughts, decisions, actions, and ultimately your feeling of success. And if you're experiencing a challenging time right now, think about how you can shift your perspective. And so when you're thinking about work, how do you view it? So as we're looking at the second point here, the prevailing view of work, this is the most accepted view. And that is this: work is a concession to life. It's a necessary evil. This view of work has dominated much of human history. You look down in societies, when they started out, what made them great was hard work. As time went on, people did not want to work. They wanted leisure. And so they found a way to get other people to do the work that maybe they should have been doing. It isn't always the case, but this concession to life is, I'm doing this because I have to. And B, this view of work dominates the thinking of many today. Number one, it's just a job. Two, it's a necessary means to the things I really want. And then three, the ultimate goal is not to work, but to retire. Now think about the guys that you talk with, the people that you talk with. What is their priority? Many times their view is, I do this, I'm hoping someday to be done with it so I can do what I really want. It's the TGIF thinking. It's the always thinking about retirement. Now making plans, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're living to that end, maybe you want to change your view. This leads us to the higher view of work, which is work is a calling of God. Letter A, this higher view of work is set forth in the scripture. Number one, God is a worker. Take a look at this in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then we see in Genesis 1, verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Well, we also see in Genesis 2, verse 2, and on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. And then Psalm 111, verses 2 and 3. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. So God is a worker. Number two, God created man as his co-worker. Psalm 8, verses 4 through 6. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. And so we are a co-worker with God. And then Ephesians 2, verse 10 says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God created man as his co-worker. And then thirdly, the question can be asked, what about the curse? And we see the curse talked about in Genesis 3, verses 17 through 19. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And so there's the curse. But the curse was given after the fall, and the curse wasn't work. Work was in the garden, pre-fall. Man was to tend the garden. Man was given a job. He named the animals. We could imagine all the different things that man had to do back in the day in the garden Adam was required to do. And we see work was God's will for Adam, not God's curse on Adam. And man's sin made God-created work harder because God curses the ground, not the work of cultivating the ground. You see that? The curse was given in that way. And we keep going with this higher view. This higher view of work has made an impact in history. Number one, as seen in the Protestant Reformation and the revolutionary Protestant work ethic, it emphasized work as the will of God for everyone. So that's the perspective. That's the power of perspective. My work is the will of God. It endorsed all work with an equal dignity. It encouraged honesty and diligence in work while investing, not consuming the profits from work. And so that is the perspective. My work is something very special. It's God's will. And number two, as seen in the power, this higher view of work unleashed, there was sudden economic expansion, and there was personal prosperity. You see somebody that works hard, does a good job, that impacts their life. Roman numeral 4, a key scripture that summarizes this higher view of work. It comes from Colossians 3, 23 and 24, and we'll read that from the New American Standard Bible. It says, whatever you do, do you work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. We also see in Colossians 3, 23 and 24 from the Living Bible, work hard and cheerfully at all you do, just as though you are working for the Lord and not merely for your masters, remembering that it is the Lord Christ who is going to pay you, giving you your full portion of what he owns. He is the one you are really working for. So we see that in Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Well, let's make some observations from this passage. Number one, all work is a calling from God. All work is a calling from God. There's value and there's accountability. So we work heartily as for the Lord rather than men. And number two, all work is working for God. There's an authority there. There's ethics there. When I know that he's watching me, that has an impact on how I'm doing my work. And number three, all work should get my best effort. It should get my best enthusiasm and my best excellence. Those three E's, my effort, my enthusiasm, my excellence. And then fourthly, all work done rightly is promised rewards from God. Prosperity, influence, and then surprises. And we see that illustrated in so many ways. We see in the scriptures as talents were handed out. We see that Jesus in his stories talks about the diligent servant. There's so many illustrations of this. We see that in the American ingenuity and industriousness. But the bottom line here is Your work today will be driven by how you see, and you see with your brain. Your work today will be driven by how you see your work. And that's the power of perspective. So if you're going into it as, this is something I have to do, it's a necessary evil, that's going to have a huge impact on how you view your work. But if you say, knowing this is a calling from God, it'll have a huge impact on what your day looks like. Well, questions as we wrap up here. Number one, what's your view of work? And you need to be honest about that. Then two, what would you have to change to fully embrace the idea that your work is a calling from God? And then could you explain that? Then thirdly, what thing impacted you the most in today's session? Could you explain that? And lastly, number four, what one thing could you do differently this week to demonstrate that you are choosing to serve Jesus Christ in the job? And then could you explain that? So those are the two visions of work. How are you doing today?